Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 140, stanzas 1 and 3. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1 and 3 of 140. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the first chapter, and the first 18 verses. John 1, verses 1 through 18. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on page 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin. Therefore, are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God, except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us, that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, in that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore, God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, and when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 215, stanzas 5 and 6. He willed that each succeeding race his deeds might learn and know, that children's children to their sons might all these wonders show. 5 and 6 of 215. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal to us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may be then manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Garrett Bredeweg? Mr. and Mrs. Patrick DeLeo? Yes. Mrs. Geraldine Van Herk? Parents, what is the first thing that we have heard in our form concerning the witnessing of holy baptism? And that is that it is a witness of the wretched state in which our children have been born, and that they have been conceived, and that they have been born in sin. And therefore, it is a witness that our children need to be washed. In this hour, we hope to consider something also of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, he was also born as a child. What would it have been, mothers, to have born that holy child? Thus, there is a great difference between that child and our children, and that great difference is that that child was without sin. Therefore, we read that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Then he was outside of the imputation of the sin of Adam. And therefore, that child did not need to be baptized. And that child did not need to be circumcised. And yet he was circumcised. And he was also baptized later. And why? Why was the Lord Jesus baptized? Why was the Lord Jesus circumcised? And we see what he was willing to undergo in order that he may save his church. And that he placed himself under the law, and that he was willing to come into this world even as one who had sinned against God. Thus, he has borne the curse that was due to sin. That sinless child that was not only in all the consequences of this life that he has borne that curse, but that was also before his father because he was circumcised, because he was baptized. And that baptism that happens today, that is before the face of God. And thus it was also before the face of his own father that he did appear as one who was guilty, that he did appear as one who was filthy, so low that Son of God has come. How precious then, how precious ought to be that blessed baptism the Lord give to us as parents, the faithfulness to instruct our children when they arrive to years of discretion of what this means, and that our children may receive not only the form, but that they may receive also the substance. Riley, in a few moments, you will be baptized. And we have spoken a little of this together, that it will be in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That means the name of the triune God that will be on your forehead. And that means two things for you. What does that mean for you? It means, in the first place, that now there will be a difference between you and other children in the world who are not baptized. And that means that sometimes you will be told no, that you cannot do this or you cannot do that in this world. Why? Because you are better than other children? No. This does not convert you. You have to ask the Lord for a new heart. But we have to be separated, and then we are different from all the children that are not baptized. But there is something else, because it says in the Bible that we all sin. And we know that that is true. And now sometimes when you will sin, then you know what you may do. Then you may go on your knees, and you may pray to the Lord, and you may take your finger, and you may point to your baptized forehead, and you may show that to the Lord, and you may say, Lord, I am baptized and I have sinned. Lord, wilt thou forgive my sin? And just like that water was put on my forehead, wilt thou also wash my unclean heart? Congregation, after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, the fifth verse. Braden Riley, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Ariel Madeline, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Riley Matthew, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving, at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us, and by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children, and by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only Teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, and grant us together a deep impression of our great need for that washing and cleansing. Lord, Thou knowest all our sins and the mountain that grows day by day, or that we may have eyes more and more to see it, because we are so blind to it from ourselves. And when Thou wilt open our eyes, then we shall smite on our breast, and we will cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, teach us each and every one, young and old, and also Thy children. Do lead them more and more, that all the righteousness wherein that we see in ourselves may be so stripped away, that we would abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before Thee, that the preciousness of the blood of thy dear Son may increase day by day, and that in the end we may go out of this life as a wretched, as a poor beggar, but as one who is rich in and through thee, who has paid that price so fully, and who has so freely given it, because thy grace that is wide as the ocean, O thou art able to so swallow up all the iniquity and all the sin, Lord, the rebellion, the wickedness that lives in our hearts, and all that comes forth from day to day, which thine all-seeing eye does see. O grant true conversion. Look on us and our children, young and old, when we are baptized, and so go over this world, maybe in such a careless way. Oh, then it shall burn in our forehead to all eternity. But today is still a day of grace, and it is in the way of thy providence that we still are alive, and that we may still come up to hear thy word of truth. Oh, then we need it, Lord, to be sanctified. Take reasons out of thyself. When we have sinned away all reason that thou shouldst look upon us, also with all the benefits bestowed upon us, instruct us then in all thy truth, that we may acknowledge thee, that thou hast also brought home from the hospital him that had received surgery in the past week in this day, and that he may come home. Lord, wilt thou humble also his heart and the heart of his wife and family with him, and make it well further. Look on us this afternoon, Lord, that we are to consider together out of thy word and out of our catechism for a little while thy blessed humanity. Oh, lead us thereinto, that we may have eyes to see it not only with our minds, but that our hearts may be affected by thy truth, that it may have place in our heart, that it may have meaning for us, that it may be more than a dry doctrine. And thou alone can do it, Lord, to grant us yet a good hour to gather in thy favor, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 280, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me, bless his name. Bless Jehovah, and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. And what follows in 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 280, and the last collection today is for the building fund. Congregation, we ask your attention this afternoon for Lord's Day 14, and the 35th and the 36th questions. Lord's Day 14, questions 35 and 36. Question 35. What is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Answer that God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, and that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. Question 36. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Answer, that he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. So far, our Lord's Day, the incarnation of the Son of God. First, the fact of his incarnation in question 35. And second, the profit of his incarnation in question 36. The incarnation of the Son of God. First, the fact. Second, the profit. Becoming members, congregation, in this afternoon hour, were children, also little children, infants. We say that is new life, that is so very precious, and so it is. What an awful thing when a child is still born into this world. Then there are parents that know something of this distress, of this anguish, because then there is no breath, then there is no life, but it is dead. Now we have heard from our form of baptism that we with our children are conceived and born in sin. What does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul, he describes this birth in and conception in sin as death. That is, dead in trespasses and in sins. Thus, our children are still born into this world. Are there parents that have anguish? Are there parents that have distress? Because there is no life. There is nothing that breathes. There is nothing that cries. There is nothing that sighs in that child after the true and the living God. What does that mean actually? To be dead. To be dead in trespasses and in sins. We call it the state of death. There is a difference between the state of a person and his condition. In this life, then there is a difference between being alive or dead and between being well or sick. Thus, to be alive or dead that is a difference in state. But to be well or sick, that is a difference in condition. Thus it is possible to have life, but that life that is languishing. How is it then with a dead soul, dead in trespasses and in sins? Does that mean that there is no spirituality? Does that mean that there is no soul at all? No, we see different from this in the world. We see in the world man who has an innate knowledge of God, of his existence. We see man who is looking to this idol, man who is looking to that idol, man who realizes, who knows that he is more than a beast, that he is more than an animal, and that there is a God. Yes, then there is still in man, dead in trespasses and in sins, there is still spirituality, there is still a soul. What does it mean then? The state of death. That has to do with the justice of God. The state of death, or the state of life, that is a relation to the justice of God. And there can only be two ways. When we consider our relation to the law, our relation to justice, then it can only be two things. Then either we are guilty, or we are innocent or acquitted. Those are the only two. Before the fall, if we are innocent, after engrafting into Christ, then we are acquitted. In those states, then our relation to the law, that is that we are not liable to the curse, that we are not liable to the punishment. But it was through the fall that we have become guilty. And when we have become guilty, that is now our state of death. The Lord Jesus, he also has states, two states. We say there is the state of his humiliation, and there is the state of his exaltation. What do these correspond to? They correspond to the same. That is the relation to the justice of God corresponds to guilt. It corresponds to acquittal. The humiliation of the Lord Jesus, and that corresponds to guilt. The exaltation of the Lord Jesus, that corresponds, that points to the state of his innocence or of his acquittal. In the state of guilt, then we are exposed rightly, justly to punishment. We are exposed, we are liable rightly to wrath. The vengeance of justice. Thus, how was it with the Lord Jesus? In his humiliation, the Lord Jesus, he came into that same state as man after his fall. That is, that he was liable to the wrath, liable to the punishment of his Father and of justice. There is only one difference. That was that he was himself innocent. He was himself without sin. But the liability to that punishment, the liability to that wrath, that was just the same. Thus, our fathers say, like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. These two states, the humiliation of the Lord Jesus, the exaltation of the Lord Jesus, these are dealt with by our fathers in Articles 3 through 7 of our 12 Articles. In the next 3 Lord's days, the Lord willing, we wish to consider the state of his humiliation. 5 steps, our children know that. His humble birth, his suffering, his death, his burial, his descent into hell. Who can fathom how deeply the Lord Jesus has humbled himself? Though he was rich, we read, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Must not that church truly say we love him because he first loved us? Because Paul says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have heard previously of those that were so glad with the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember, boys and girls, who were those people in the world that were so glad with the divine nature of the Lord Jesus? Who were they? Well, I think blind Bartimaeus was he not? Because if the Lord Jesus was not God, then there was no hope that blind Bartimaeus' eyes may go opened. I think those 10 lepers, when they were crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Oh, they were so glad with the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he had the power, and when no man in this world was able to heal them. Oh, there are people in this world, and they are so glad with that divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in this Lord's Day, we hear that the Lord Jesus, he is born of the Virgin Mary, that he has taken upon himself the very human nature of man. And now this nature, our nature, that has been a stumbling block to so many persons in this world, that they have not been able to believe in his divine nature. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Is he not just a human being? But the Lord Jesus did not lay aside his divinity when he has taken upon him his humanity. No, as our fathers put it here, he is and continueth true and eternal God. So we read it in God's word. He is God, manifest in the flesh. He is over all, God blessed forever. Oh, it is in him that dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, he has only hid it, only hid that divinity for a time behind a veil of his humanity, and that he laid aside his glory that he may come in this world in the form of a servant. But not only are there those who did deny his divinity, but there are also those who did deny the humanity of the Lord Jesus. In the early church, there were those that said that he was only a man in appearance. And then there were also the Arians following Arius. They said he had a real body, but he actually did not have a real soul. He had an excellent spirit, and that excellent spirit was created by God, especially for him in the place of a soul. Then there are the Apollinarists. They said that his Godhead is served him instead of a soul. He did not need a soul because he had divinity. What is it? It is all a denial of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is as comfort robbing to that true church of God as the denial of his divinity. But what saith the scriptures? He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, we read. So the Bible that does not serve the world. No, the Bible that is serving that true church of God. So Christ was promised that he would be the descendant of Abraham. So he was promised and that he would come from the tribe of Judah. So he was promised that he would be the son of David. Wherefore it behooved him to become like unto his brethren, we read in the Word of God. We understand the comfort of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ that lies in his power, that lies in his ability. When there is no power, when there is no ability from the side of man, therein there is hope, therein there is expectation. What is now the comfort that lies in his humanity? Man is conscious of something. Man has been conscious even from the beginning that the blood of bulls and of goats is not able to take away sin. Otherwise, Paul says, would they not have ceased to be offered? Thus, if it was possible that the conscience of man could be cleared by the blood of bulls and of goats, there would have come an end. Because the apostle says, the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. Do you know what that is, young people? To have conscience of sins. When we know that we have sinned, then our conscience speaks. And we know when we have sinned, and we know when we have not sinned. There is a very great difference in our conscience, especially when we have to appear before mother, appear before father, appear before a judge. Then we know very well the difference between the conscience which says you are innocent and the conscience which says you are guilty. Thus, we know very well what it means to have no conscience of sins. And those that have come in the Old Testament with their offerings, and they have brought those offerings unto the tabernacle, unto the temple of the Lord, they were also conscious of something. They were conscious that the blood of this animal was not able to cleanse that conscience. Never has it taken place that one, because now of that animal and that blood that was shed, that his conscience, from testifying of its guilt, began now to testify of its innocence. That is impossible. Why? We can try to convince one another. We can say that animal that now stands in your place. We can learn that with our mind from the cradle to the grave. But when we have to die, our conscience is going to stand guilty before our judge. It cannot cleanse that conscience. Why not? Because it is of a different nature. It is not our nature. Justice that belongs to that part of man which we call intuitive, that which is innate, that which is in every one of us, justice. What does the Bible say? It says, when man is not taught out of the word of God, the heathen have their conscience testifying. It is either accusing them or it is excusing them. They have not been taught out of the word of God. How does that happen? That is innate. That is in every single person in the whole world. That justice will take place. Why then cannot that animal take the place of a human being? Because it is not just. And your conscience and my conscience knows that it is not just. And that is why the blood of bulls and goats is not able to take away sin and to purge our conscience. Why then did they offer them? Why did all then that blood have to flow? It flowed only as pointing to him that would come in our nature. It flowed only pointing to him that would come as the true substitute, who would be flesh of our flesh and bone of our bones. And when faith, the faith of our fathers, may see in that lamb, in that ram, may see that Son of God, then it was by faith in him that also their conscience could be purged. Same as it is today. It is by faith when a soul may be given to behold that Son of God. And what is the result, young people? That is that from our conscience testifying against us, that our conscience begins to testify in our favor. that is standing before the judge. When it is against us, then we have to die. But when our conscience is for us, then we cannot die. When the judge is righteous. Because a righteous judge cannot condemn the guiltless. Or is not the humanity of the Son of God a precious matter? Therefore, to rob him of his humanity, that is to destroy the salvation of the Church of God. To defend his humanity, that is to defend, that is to preserve the comforts, the consolations of the guilty. Oh, blessed comfort of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. No, that was not to bring his own nature from heaven, a different nature than ours, passing through Mary as water passes through a pipe, but to be conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, and so truly to become as one of us. But there is also something else of which you and I are conscious. You and I are conscious of the perfect requirements of the law of God. How many things, boys and girls, do you need to do wrong before you are afraid to come before your Father? How many things? That is only one. Only one. Thus we are conscious of the perfection that that law requires. That that law requires us to be absolutely perfect. Otherwise, we will be punished. What does that mean? That means that nothing is able to free our conscience from sin but perfection of holiness. The only way that our conscience could ever perceive that God, our judge, will be favorable to us is if there is an absolute holiness. If there is not one single imperfection. And therefore, so necessary, as our fathers write, that he might be made like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. Because if that Son of God had one sin, thought, word, and deed, then our conscience would testify that he could not stand in our place. There would be no relief, no relief to the souls of God's children if there were a single transgression of the Son of God. But what was now the hope? What was now the expectation of that convicted and of that punished murderer? What was his hope? This man had done nothing amiss. Nothing. And because he had done nothing amiss, there was in his heart an expectation. Because he had done nothing amiss, then he saw that he could be received by that judge. Because he had done nothing amiss, he saw that his punishment not for himself, and was because he saw that he had done nothing amiss, that the cry went out of his guilty and filthy and polluted heart, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Let us sing first. 188, 1 through 4. Make 1 and 4. 1 and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me and be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1 and 4 of 188. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity, that he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness covers. In the sight of God, my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth, that he is our mediator, that is, the prophet. Congregation, what is a mediator? Our children, they can tell us what a mediator is. Mediator is one who comes between two disagreeing parties with a purpose, that he may bring those two disagreeing parties back together again. And who are those parties? They are God and man. Do you ever feel this? God and man, creator and his creature, two disagreeing parties. A breach between God and our soul. Wrath, righteous wrath from our Maker against us. There are two things that the Lord lays in the heart in the new birth. What are they? One is the love of God. We heard a little bit in this morning. The love of God. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. There is something else. There is a view of the reality of my state and condition before God. That is, that I have to appear before my judge, and that I cannot, that I am not able to stand before him. Thus, the love for him, and at the same time, the displeasure of the Lord against my soul. Now it is impossible. It is impossible to reconcile these two without a mediator. Without a mediator. To go between. Why? Because God is just. Because God is true. Because God is not able in his very nature to even look upon sin. But now to learn this. Oh, to learn this in our life. That is often the work of many years, because even that newborn soul, he wants to do it without a mediator. Without a mediator, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Oh, love, desire, zeal. Where is it all from? It is all from the Lord. But there is ignorance. Ignorance about what? How deep that pit is into which we have fallen. So, so very deep that it is impossible for us to get out ourselves. Spirit is willing, yes. Spirit is willing. Why? Because the Lord has a willing people. Indeed, a willing people in the day of his power. But now to learn that the flesh is weak. It is a painful thing to be cut off from Adam. It is a painful thing to be cut off from an old and broken covenant in order that we may be engrafted into that new covenant. But it has to be. It is necessary. It cannot be engrafted without first be cutting off that he is our mediator. Is he also your mediator? That is so necessary. It has to be, our fathers say, it has to be profitable to us. That is, not only for our intellect. No, it has to be for our soul. And how hidden this mediator is so often. No, he is not hidden to the hypocrite. because he is able to see him, but he is so hidden for God's people. That is the reality. If you do not want to believe it, read the Psalms. If you don't want to believe it, read the Song of Solomon. That mediator hidden. That mediator needing to be revealed. That eye of faith may behold him. That it may truly become profitable for my soul. Now when the Spirit of the Lord reveals him, then what a blessing. And that soul receives. That is what our fathers say in this question and answer. Oh, what a profit for our soul when we may behold his holy conception and nativity by a true and living faith. What a joy is then experienced in that soul when those shepherds, they may come and they may see him. They may see him as a human being. They may see him as the Son of Man, because over and over and over again, that blood that has been flowing forth out of those animals. But my conscience, my conscience, my conscience, that is still not purged. Then the day came that they may behold him, that they may behold him lying there in that manger. All then what their soul may be given to see in him, and how that their conscience may be then purged. Oh, what may they see in the blessed humiliation of that Son of God. What a breaking of their heart. What a rejoicing of their spirit. What a hope. What an expectation. And that is burning now within their heart. When it has been so, so dark. And then in a moment, then the Lord, he has made it so, so light for them. Oh, how precious, how lovely does that Son of God become. Because, why? Oh, our Father say, covers. Covers in the sight of God my sins wherein I was conceived and brought forth. What did David say? He said, my sin is covered. My sin is covered. And when the soul may see him, then it is not my neighbor's sin. No, that it is my own sin. That he is our mediator. And yet there is a difference. There is a difference between seeing him and embracing him. There is a difference between the revelation of that mediator and the application of the mediator. It is one thing to see that he is the mediator, and it is another thing to see that he is my mediator. Oh, may you ever see him. May you ever see him, people of the Lord. May you ever see him standing in your breach. Standing in the breach between God and your own soul. All then there is nothing. Then that breach that is so completely covered over, then it is so full, and then there is nothing that is standing between God and your soul. Then there is no wrath. No, though you have fallen so far away from him, oh, is this not then profit? Is this not then profit for your soul? Then there is no more sin. There is no more sin that is lying upon your conscience. Then you are able to stand before the judge without a tinge of fear. Why? David says, my sin is covered. And when it is covered, then it is not seen. Nor then is seen no more by the judge. But as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us and cast them into the depth of the sea. All you understand, then there is reconciliation. All reconciliation with whom? Reconciliation and bringing back again to that God whom I have come to love. O Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And everything that has now been between me and thee, that is now swallowed up in that blood that has been shed upon that cursed tree by that human being, that God-man, that Emmanuel, God with us. That he is our mediator. And with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. Or is there not something here that your soul goes out after, congregation? We are busy, we are busy, we are busy every day in this world. What is now the profit? There is much profit in this world to be gained. And then we leave it all behind. Then we stand there. We stand there before our judge. You for yourself. And me for myself. This precious humanity. This precious divinity. Oh, he has made a way. I am the way, he says. I am the truth. I am the life. A way for the conscience and everything that testifies against us to be completely cleared away. He is willing to write it on his own account, that ours may be completely free. Jesus, the Son of God, that he is our mediator, is he also your mediator? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show to us all the truth of ourselves, all our wickedness, all our sin. Open it, Lord. It is a pit, and thou wilt show it more and more to thy children. A sepulcher, white it over, but all known to thee, known only in part to us, but there is so much sufficiency in thy only begotten Son. O thou who hast been so willing to lay aside thy glory and to come so low as to be seen by thy holy Father as full of sin, liable to punishment, O thou who art exalted at the right hand of God, remember us when thou art in thy kingdom. And forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. And when I by trouble am distressed, Then lead me on the rock to rest that higher is than I. 1, 2, and 4 of 159. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.